The darkness into light runners were all making their way home as I was coming in here. And what an amazing sunrise to be running into this morning, at least here on the East Coast. A big fiery orange ball in the sky. If I told you this morning that there is a 10-year programme costing you, the taxpayer, €1 billion and it's not working, you would probably spit your cornflakes across the kitchen table. Well, swallow the cornflakes gently now before I do tell you that that is the cost of the TB eradication programme, but the number of cases is growing every year and so too is the bill to the taxpayer. Farm organisations led by the IFA want to see an increase in the number of badgers culled to arrest the disease, but the Department of Agriculture argues that the science is pointing towards the badger being the smaller part of the problem and what is needed is much stricter controls on the movement of animals for up to 5 years in some cases. There was an emergency TB summit in the Department of Agriculture on Thursday, and the minister is here in studio to tell us if his proposals generated more heat than white smoke. But I want to start this morning in a wood in South Roscommon with a trapper called Joe Kenny, who's part of a departmental team vaccinating healthy badgers and culling diseased ones to try and stem the spread of the disease.
So we have a restraint attached to a bar that we drive down into the ground.
Okay.
There's a restraint with a stopper on it. The stopper ensures that it doesn't tighten on the badger. It doesn't injure him. And in any event, the badger does very little struggling.
You would have thought that once they were caught up in something like that, they'd be desperate to get free, but no?
No, most of the time he's asleep there at the restraint.
When you find them the following morning, really?
Yes.
That's interesting, okay. How many sets are you covering then?
Generally, each FRS operative covers 10 sets.
So that's 10 places to visit at dawn or as close to dawn every morning,
yes,
yeah?
Yes. In the course of a week, it could be from 2 badgers up to 10.
And on a nice, sunny, dry, warm day like today, this is not really badger weather, is it?
It's not badger weather.
Would you imagine less likely to find something?
It's less likely, and I think the badger out away from the set maybe.
There were no badgers caught overnight in any of the sets that Joe was watching. Had there been, departmental vet Magella Cullen would have been on hand to sedate the badger and administer a blood test to find out if it has TB or not.
Some of them are asleep when you come upon them. Some of them are more aggressive. So we use a mixture of ketamine and detomidine to anaesthetise them. And to do that, I have a long pole injection. Joe restrains them.
A jab in the bum, literally.
Yeah, a jab in the bum or the neck and test them. We take a sample from the jugular vein and pipette it onto a slide. I have actually one here. This animal was actually positive.
And how accurate is that test?
It's about 60%.
Not great, but better than nothing.
Yes, yeah.
And allows you to do a test in the field rather than having
Absolutely.
To take an animal away with you to a laboratory and keep it.
Isn't feasible.
Isn't feasible, really,
no,
is it?
No.
That's the work of a morning at a handful of badger sets for Joe and Magella. What, though, is the department achieving at a landscape level? Philip Breslin runs the badger vaccination programme in Roscommon.
Joe will have 30 sets on the go all the time, as will the other two wildlife officers in the county.
And how long do you concentrate on a set then before moving on to another one?
Well, the rule of thumb is a fortnight.
Average it out across the year for me then. How many badgers are you getting and making contact with?
Well, in the vaccination area, we're making contact with about 300 badgers, and about a quarter of those will have already been vaccinated. Are recaptured.
Okay. Is it unfair to ask you what you think the total population might be in your
in Roscommon? Well, it's not unfair to ask me, but
you're not going to get an answer.
You know, the national population has been estimated to be something around 60 to 100,000 badgers.
Okay. You could throw more resources at this problem. There's plenty of badgers out there for you to be doing business with.
We could do with more resources. You'll always catch more badgers if you have more resources. But, you know, you'll have a diminishing return for every extra resource that you put in at this stage.
Now the activity goes up and down here. Sometimes you think there's somebody in with a mini digger,
but it's actually badger.
Badger. But there's some holes here. These holes there, that big, you can nearly crawl down them yourself.
You could too, yeah, you're not exaggerating.
There is scepticism among farmers about the vaccination programme. Badger vaccination started on Malcolm Smith's farm in Wicklow in 2019. 4 years later, in 2023, he had a TB outbreak that nearly put him out of business.
We had been clear. We tested that year in February. We tested on a skin test. I think we got on the first test, we got 34 reactors out of nowhere.
How many ultimately did you end up losing in 23?
99. We were milking about 160 all year round. I lost 45 autumn calving cows and 45 spring calving cows. Six maiden heifers and a bull. We lost the cows. Not only lost the cows, we lost the calves in the cows.
I can see by you, Malcolm, that this is not just something that you take on the chin.
You have to. It does. It's hard to keep... It's hard to keep taking it again and again and again.
At the same time, though, you can't be happy, I'm sure, with the idea of making an animal locally extinct.
You don't need to make them extinct, you just need to control them. Years ago, there would have been half a dozen or maybe 10 different farms in the area, farmers, and all the old boys would be setting traps and snares for fox, and they'd only have a few sheep, and they'd be protecting the sheep and the chickens and keeping control of the wildlife. Now, nobody has time to do it. The badgers are protected, we're not allowed to go near them. I think there should be a season that you can shoot the badger to control the numbers. There are too many of them out there.
They will say, though, that just as much effort goes into trapping and shooting a badger as into trapping and vaccinating it. So why not opt for vaccination if that's the case?
It's not effective. But sure, they're doing it here already. They're vaccinating in this area. For years, the numbers have gone up. In 8 days, they trap badgers here for 2 weeks. They set traps for 4 days each week. They caught 24 badgers. 10 were culled, anything that was previously vaccinated. They were tested with a lateral flow test, which is only 50% accurate, and they were all released, every one of them.
What do you say to the farmers who say, it's not working? The vaccination team came, they did their thing, and then I still had an outbreak.
Not all TB in cattle is transmitted from badgers to cattle. In fact, different research studies, modelling studies, have demonstrated that transmission from cattle to cattle is more common than transmission from badgers to cattle. That doesn't mean it's not transmitted from badgers to cattle. It is, and you then get amplification within
the cattle. But it's only a part of the problem, yeah.
It's a part of the problem. So, you know, residual infection from a previous infection is part of the problem. Cattle movements is part of the problem. Local spread is part of the problem. Badger spread is part of the problem.
What does the science say about the possible success rate of vaccination programs?
Badger vaccination will reduce the spread, the R number, you might remember from COVID, from badger-to-badger spread of TB from 1.2 to 0.5. Now, what that means is that without vaccination, one badger will, on average, infect 1.2 other badgers. And with vaccination, it takes two badgers to infect another badger.
Does that mean that the science is suggesting a vaccination program alongside a culling program in particularly densely populated areas is the best path forward?
An element of reactive culling of badgers where there are particular TB problems in a vaccination area would be useful, and that is what we are already doing.
Okay.
So
where you have hot spots, you need to reduce the population as well as vaccinate.
Yes.
What do you say to the animal welfare organisations who say that the traps that you're using are cruel?
All badgers that are removed assessed in terms of injury, and about 1% of badgers are injured. Most of these restraints, they restrain the badger around the thorax, and they do cause a little bit of bruising, but we've recaptured badgers days after they've been previously captured and the bruising is gone.
So 3 in 300 badgers over the course of a year, and what's the alternative for those animals that do have the disease? What kind of a life do they end up leading?
As the disease progresses, the animal becomes thin, debilitated, and we remove, if in the vaccination area we come across a sick badger, a thin badger, an emaciated badger, we euthanize them, and most of them have TB.
Philip Breslin in Roscommon. As I said, the Agriculture Minister, Martin Hayden, joins me in studio this morning. Good morning, Minister. I know, but will you set out for the benefit of everybody else here how serious the situation we're in right now?
Yes, it's a critical situation we're in right now, where in recent years we've seen exponential growth of TB incidents and reactors across our country. 6,000 farm families are affected by a TB outbreak back in just 2024. Herd incidents increased from 4.3% in 2022 to over 6% in 24, and that's a 36% increase in a short period of time. And what that effectively means is we had 41,600 reactors last year, which are animals testing positive for TB that have to be culled. Only a couple of years ago, that was at 20,000. And all of the science and indication and trends are telling us, if we don't act and change our approach across a myriad of different ways, that we'll be over 60,000 reactors this year.
And if you go over 60,000, the big picture here is that not only is this scandalously poor taxpayer value for money for the 100 million that's being spent a year, it's an existential threat to a multi-billion euro export industry. There's obviously animal health issues, there's possibly public health issues, there's farm livelihoods at risk. But there's also the reputational damage that would come to Ireland Inc. from allowing a 19th century disease to run rampant in the 21st century.
There's all those challenges, all of those elements. There is the economic impact on the farmer as well as on my budget in terms of the money I have to spend in a given year. But if you talk to any farmer, and the farmer you just interviewed there, I could hear it in his voice as well, any farmer impacted by a breakdown, and particularly a high-density breakdown, you can hear it in their voice. Their voice breaks. Many struggle to hold back the tears. This is the most stressful, one of the most stressful things that can happen, to see your animals taken out of your yard, to have your herd restricted, to have your livelihood impacted at that level. I remember at home on our farm in Kildare, we only had a reactor once in my lifetime. It was in the mid-1990s. I was still in school. The devastation of that cow going away to the factory after the failed test, and the impact of being locked up was way beyond the financial. And the financial is really significant for the farmers. So what my approach here is in proposing a five-point plan and having the level of engagement I'm having at present with all key stakeholders is that there is another way here. We can change our approach. If we all work collectively, we can make a really significant impact here, reverse the trend, stop the increase, reverse it, and get back to a point where we can credibly talk about eradication again.
There's a lot of complicated science here, but it strikes me that we already know all of this because of the 3 years' experience that we had with COVID, with acting collectively to flatten the curve and reduce the incidence of a disease. That is presumably what you're trying to do now.
Absolutely. And just like COVID, there isn't one intervention that it's a silver bullet that will fix this, because if it was, it would have been done a long time ago. There is a series of different things that needs to be done, from wildlife to cattle transmission, to addressing residual transmission where there's large breakdowns. The science tells us very clearly we have to act on all of those three elements and do better. But this is, just like COVID, this is a national effort. We need everybody pulling together. If you look at the 30 points under, there are 30 specific actions proposed under the five-point plan. I'm not saying we have to do every single one of them, but we have to incorporate and layer in the majority of them in a jigsaw effect to get the maximum return, because we don't have one test and we don't have one intervention that is 100% foolproof. Our skin test is 80%, introducing a greater level of blood testing, which I'm proposing, which is a significant increase in expenditure from my department, but absolutely the right thing to do, can increase that percentage up over 90%, as well as other measures around enhanced biosecurity on our farms as well.
Let me see if I can't kind of gather all of those 30 different actions together and say that the big picture of the deal that you're trying to cut here or propose to the farm organisations is that you will give farmers more badger vaccination, more population control, more financial support, more sophisticated and costly testing in exchange for an agreement on greater control of movements of animals on and off farms.
There's the control and restrictions of animals on and off farms. There's also the sharing of information. Information is really key. We have 97,000 farmers who aren't affected by TB. The 6,000 herds that are, I want to work with really closely. I want to support them, like we are already, but support them even more so. And I want to give them a clear pathway out, because where you have instances of breakdowns, like the farmer you've just interviewed there, it's very hard for them to see a pathway out. But also, we want to make sure that the 97,000 farmers that don't have this don't get it, and who are very concerned about it right now. And in that, if you look at the range of measures that I'm proposing, an awful lot of them are those actions and responsibilities I'm imposing here are on my department. So like a 30% increase in operatives for the wildlife sector, changing our approach there in a very significant way to reduce the impact on wildlife as well, because, you know, this is not a nice thing for a badger to get either. And, you know, they have to be culled when they get TB too.
You are also, though, suggesting imposing 5-year restrictions on the movement or curtailment of movement of animals on and off farms in certain instances, and the farm organisations have responded by saying that that is unnecessary. Why do you believe it's necessary?
So what I'm talking about here is agreeing a range of measures that together collectively greatly improve our percentage chances of having action. So like there's a 25% chance that a herd that is still infected with TB post de-restriction, where the evidence is that the original outsource came from cattle to cattle transmission, this can increase to 45%. So in the first 3 years, actually, after a test, those animals are high risk. And if you're a low risk herd and you bring those animals into your herd, you are greatly increasing your chance of having an outbreak where you mightn't have had an outbreak for a whole generation. Farmers being aware of that is important. Having information is really, really important. I'm very clear of the 30 points in there. I know some of them are very unpalatable, are very difficult.
People want to know, Minister, I think, that is the unintended consequence of imposing a 5-year curtailment on action, though, effectively to put a farm out of business?
No, like what I'm looking to do here is to agree a range of measures with broad consensus across all the stakeholders that can actually drive this down, that has less farmers being affected, that gives a clear pathway out for farmers out of the mess they're in, because you hear those stories of farmers with very significant large breakdowns. They keep having failed tests the following year, the year after. They have no certainty as to where they're getting to. If we can get this disease back down, stop it increasing, and back down to more manageable levels of a much reduced percentage, way below 6%, well, then you can move into a different phase of action.
Can you make a promise to those people in that situation of repeated breakdowns that they will not become the sacrificial lamb or calf in this case, and that they will still be in business 5 years down the line?
The last thing I want to see is that any of the measures we bring in would actually put people out of business. But the very people who are affected here are having their livelihoods absolutely impacted and already by restrictions and by no clear pathway out. So we have to change our approach for them. We absolutely do. And we have to agree a range of measures that collectively increase our chances of getting, and you know, not just increase our chances, that will absolutely drive the instances of TB back down. There is some of the responsibility for that is on my side, with my department, with my resources, how they're spent, how we address wildlife, but also in terms of how we address the cattle-to-cattle transmission, and also how we address the residual.
Listener questions piling in, as you will not be surprised to hear. Marion in Kilkenny wants to know, I think they need to seriously consider vaccinating cattle for TB. I understand the issues around not being able to differentiate between a vaccinated animal and an infected one. Surely it should be looked at, and maybe there's a way around this. The science on that suggesting that they're a long way off being able to differentiate between an animal that has the disease and an animal that has been vaccinated for the disease.
Absolutely. So there's huge, you mentioned earlier our trade, we export 90% of the food and drink we produce in this island. There are very significant trade implications for that, because we promise people that we detect TB, and that you know, to have an animal that, if a vaccine shows, doesn't differentiate between infective and vaccinated, then that is an issue in that space. There is significant research going on, and a number of my proposals here are around increased research from our side, but there's research that's happening in the UK at present as well.
But there isn't a vaccine for cattle riding like the cavalry over the hill.
Not in the short term.
The big picture question that arises from what you just said there is, We are in such a febrile global trade situation at the moment. I assume that when you're going abroad on trade missions, this is the last thing you want to find yourself end up talking about.
Yes, well, look, it is something that's specific to us. Our trading partners understand where we're at in terms of our disease interventions and the money we are spending here in trying to do this. But it's always more challenging in the context of an increasing trend. But let me be really clear. My main motivation is the individual farmers I deal with who are impacted by this on a daily basis. The trauma of a TB breakdown in a herd affects a whole family. It is devastating. There's a massive economic impact, but it even goes beyond that. It's really, really traumatic. I want less farmers to have to face that vista in the future. And for those farmers who are affected now, I want to be able to create a clear pathway for them that they can see a way out of that.
To which end, I should ask you, what sort of timeline are we looking at here before you move from proposals to written statements of intention and what it is that you're going to do?
We're talking weeks, not months. Like the time for action is here. We've had.
So you're not hanging around waiting for agreement from farm organisations.
Let me say clearly, we have a TB forum that has done very important work over the last number of years. When I got this job at the end of January, my chief veterinary officer attended her first meeting because she just got the job recently as well, and I have an excellent team of staff there in the department of scientists who I work with closely in this area, and we all recognise we all have to do more. But the TB forum was asked for the stakeholders and farm organisations and others to make submissions in February. They made them in March. My chief veterinary officer went forward with a series of proposals at that time, which were debated in March. We reflected on the points that we're making back. I beefed up some of the interventions and proposals around wildlife and wildlife interventions on foot of those engagements. I held a summit last Thursday that was 11 hours in the Department of Agriculture, where all the key stakeholders were in. We started with a plenary. We went into bilateral meetings. I have to say the bilateral meetings were really good. They were lengthy. They went on for hours, but every one of them I got something out of.
Because but at the conclusion of that, which you didn't have agreement from the main farming organisation.
No. And as I say, these 30 points that were put down as part of my 5-point plan were there for debate, for discussion, to tease through. And there were some points raised that aren't on those points that I'm reflecting on. So there's some things that aren't on that proposal that will be in the next proposal.
But we will see a list of actions within weeks rather than months.
Absolutely. And what I would love to get is broad consensus, not because I'm afraid of protest or people disagreeing with me, but because what I would hate to come out of this process is mixed messaging to farmers. This is a collective. We have to put on a green jersey here. It's a national effort to work together. The science is really clear, and we don't want misinformation going to farmers to confuse the thing even further.
Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We'll take a break. Email countrywide@rte.ie.